This episode of Nature of Things was originally aired November 21st, 1991.
Well, I'm in my car again, cruising along through some favorite backcountry between Marcellus and Skaneateles. I have business in Skaneateles. I'm looking for something memorable and hoping you forgive me if I ask you to indulge in one more exercise in roadside naturalizing, you know, like botanizing and zoologizing. Next week, I'll move on to something else. Lately, I've taken several business trips which allowed for side excursions through the Montezuma Refuge, something I usually manage no more than once or twice during spring and fall when the waterfowl are congregating on their way to or from their nesting grounds. I tend to rate these trips largely on the number of species of ducks, geese, and swans I see. This probably relates to my past history of building wetlands for waterfowl. As a youth, I had much more interest in rails, bitterns, and shorebirds than in ducks and geese. That changed when my professional success began to be measured in terms of nesting ducks and resting waterfowl per acre of wetland created. Those other denizens of the wetlands became enrichment statistics hardly noticed by any of the men I saluted. The syndrome stuck. Even research into nesting success of gallinule, bittern, black tern, Virginia rail, and grebe didn't change that, I found. I'm not really a bird watcher. I don't put much value on first sightings for the year or on additions to my life list. Still, nothing can top for me the trip I took years ago with Stu Hostler to the Watertown area to view the great gray owls. I was bowled over, I admit, by the dramatic encounters with birds and by the excitement of the bird watchers who there congregated. The following fall at a conference of outdoor educators, Wayne Trim mentioned that he had brought along his latest painting. He wanted me to take a look at it. Not that Wayne values my judgment about his paintings. It was just a friendly gesture because he knows how much I admire his work. There it was, for me, the definitive painting of the great gray owl. Yes, I've seen Furetes and Batemans and Petersons and Lansdownes, all great. But somehow this one epitomized and cemented in my inner being that magnificent and memorable encounter with a bird out of natural range, but still doing without inhibition exactly what came naturally. The other facet of the listing pursuit which justifies it for me is the companionship. I have many good birding and mammal-watching companions over the years. As I think of it, some of the only real companions I did have. Presently, as Jim Anderson of Marietta or Brian Fisher of Tully, with whom I scoured the wetlands in the countryside. Not too many times a year, I admit. The trips to Montezuma have been mostly solo. But there were all of the handsomest of our waterfowl available for the watching, most of them in spectacular nuptial dress. And here we are again. The first one to catch my eye as I scan groups of hundreds of assorted ducks is a dapper little ruddy duck. White cheeks, black cap, and wedge-shaped tail, often held erect at right angles to the water. Those are its hallmarks. In summer, the male's body is a ruddy brown, but no hint of that color remains. The ruddy is one of the only species which have dull winter plumage. Nearby, an even smaller duck is diving and surfacing with regularity. This duck, a female, is largely grayish-brown, with a white teardrop behind the eye, a bufflehead. It takes a while for me to locate the male, a charming little duck whose large black head is trisected by a white babushka and whose breast flanks and secondaries are pure white, too. All three of the mergansers are here, the common, larger than a mallard, with green head, white breast, flanks, and wing coverts, and secondaries. The red-breasted merg, looking slightly smaller and slimmer, with brown-streaked breast, gray-barred flanks, and distinct two-tufted crest. And my favorite, the hooded merganser. The late Pearl Trumbull, who had a talent for epithet, labeled it skunk duck, referring to its black and white ensemble. Black back and head with fan-shaped crest, fringed with black, white breast, and numerous black and white stripes. Only the rusty flanks mar the metaphor. Add to this list loons, grebes, pied-billed and horned, coots, swans, geese, snow, blue in Canada, along with widgeon, gadwall, teal, pintails, black ducks, and of course mallards all over. And you have the makings of a rewarding visual excursion. The fact that this is a side trip, merely a visual enrichment to a business trip I had to take anyway, may help to assuage those critics who maintain I shouldn't be urging you to consume fossil fuels on frivolous pursuits. I'll answer that sometime in the future. That's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.